Luke chapter number one, just like we did last week, we moved the Sunday morning series to Sunday night. So as we're in the book of Genesis, most of the time on Sunday mornings, the book of Genesis will be moved to Sunday nights for a few weeks. So if you want to hear the book of Genesis, you need to come tonight, or you can listen to it online if you like to. Tonight we are going to say goodbye to Abraham, and you won't want to miss the message tonight at 6 o'clock. So, as we mentioned, we're going to take a few weeks and look at some different Christmas themes. And here in Luke chapter number one, the title of this morning's message is Christmas is a Time of Peace. Christmas is a time of peace. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the story of Joseph, and we talked about how Christmas is a time of hope. If you were here at the Christmas banquet last night, we talked about how Christmas is a time of proclamation. And we looked at how the shepherds and how when the one angels came there and they were sore afraid, and how the multitude of angels filled the sky. But what they were impressed with and what they told everybody else about wasn't the angels, but they were impressed with the message concerning the babe, and how they had a great story to tell about the angels, but the greater story was the story that they told about the babe. You go look it up in the Luke chapter number 2. It talks about that, how they went abroad telling the story concerning the babe. It wasn't about the presentation of the angels, and I'm sure they told people about that, but their focus was telling people about the Christ child. And I tell you, we can get distracted by all the things that go along with Christmas that have nothing to do with God. But if we lose the focus of the message about it being about Christ, that Jesus came to this world to die for our sins, we miss the most important thing. And this morning, Christmas is a time of peace. You would think that the season in which we celebrate peace on earth and goodwill toward men would be one of the most relaxed and joyous times of the year. Now, how many people are relaxed and joyous? Oh, look at how many people relax usually during Christmas time? Not very many, is there? Oh, we got one. So there are some that are relaxed, but then, you know what? With all the activities go around, and I'm not picking on the activities. We have Cantata next week, Cantata afterwards. Now, I think we can be busy about doing good things, and I think we can be pointing people to Christ, and we can stay actively involved in those things. But be honest with you, Christmas is a time of peace. The message that those angels came and delivered to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds, the first thing they told them was, fear not. One of the first things, fear not. It was the idea that we don't want you to be perplexed. We don't want you to be overwhelmed. I got a message from God, and this message from God is a good news. He says, but you're not supposed to be fearful. And I know sometimes at Christmas time, people become fearful. He said, well, what are you afraid of at Christmas? I don't know. I've seen many ladies when they're cooking dinner, they get all worked up and anxious about, man, this has just got to turn out right. And they worry and they stress. And I understand the idea there about wanting everything to be good and perfect and all that. But you know what? Everything's in God's hands. Sometimes people turn around and say, I don't know if I have enough money for gifts, or I don't know if I do this, or I don't. You know what? We could do our best and leave the rest up to God. And that's what the story here today is about, how you can have peace this Christmas. There's three different points. First point is, you have peace. Peace comes when we trust in God's power. Peace comes when we trust in God's power, His sovereignty. Peace also comes when we trust or submit to God's plan. Peace comes when we submit to God's plan. And last but not least, peace comes when we worship God's purpose. When we worship God's purpose. See, in our stressful holiday season, Christmas has become a time of inflamed emotions as people wrestle with driven schedules and personal needs. The sheer financial demands of Christmas drive people to a distraction. You think about it, in 2010, in November, the USA Today reported that money is the number one stress issue for American adults, number one cause for divorce. But in 2010, there was spent over $465 billion during the Christmas season. See, pressure, hurry, and anxiety bend our reactions toward irritability more than goodwill toward men. How many people get irritable around Christmas because they're busy? I got irritable yesterday, and I had to apologize to my wife because I got grumpy because I had so many things to do, and I had to refocus and say, you know, what is the main reason and purpose of what we do? As for peace on earth, the holiday season accounts for the highest suicide rates of the year. There isn't peace there in some people's life. We adorn our houses and streets with merrily twinkling electric lights, but inwardly we're experiencing the darkness of personal loneliness and failed expectations. Christmas is not a joyous rejoicing time for many people, but for a believer and for a Christian that knows God and knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, this should be a time of hope like we talked about last week. This should be a time of proclamation like we talked about last night. And this should be a time of peace. The Bible tells us not be careful for nothing, which means don't be anxious for anything. And we need to get this spot and understand that we can have peace from God. We can have peace with God. And we can also have the peace of God, which passes all understanding in our lives as believers. So many times we go through this whole season just dreading it and trying to get it finished and get it done. But if we go back to the first century, we go back to these characters in the Bible, this was a message of peace. This was a message of hope. Their worlds were turned upside down, but they had the peace of God on them because they were submitted to the will of God. Let's look what the Bible says here in Luke chapter number 1. We're going to read the account talking here about the angel talking to Mary. He says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and of the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, Mary here is responding to this angel, and it says in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled. She was worried. She was fearful. If you would have seen an angel, you probably would have had the same impression. At his saying, though, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So she is wondering what he was talking about. In verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now just stop there for a second. Would our lives find favor with God? Mary was chosen by God to do one miraculous thing. That's because she was already living for God, and she was highly favored with God. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. For most people, they'd be excited. There's a baby coming. Mary has never known a man, so this is causing her to wonder, how in the world is this going to happen? And he begins to talk a little bit about the baby and the Christ child. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And can you imagine hearing this from the angel? Imagine if you're a Mary here. Now, once again, this is a godly young woman. Most Bible commentators and tradition tells us Mary is probably about 14 or 15 years old at the time. She's planning this great wedding and planning on getting married to Joseph, who was a just man that we learned about last week. Her plans are getting turned all the way upside down here. And he's saying, how in the world is this going to happen? The angel describes it. Verse 36, the angel gives her an example of how God can do all things. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she have also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Now, we remember the story about Elizabeth and Zacharias, older people. And they were well past the years of being able to have children. Miraculous birth here with John the Baptist. And I love that story. You read how they were faithful and how they were serving God, even though they didn't get their prayers answered. They had prayed for this child for years. God left her barren until this moment in time. And the angel is telling Mary, look, God did this with Elizabeth. And in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. What he's telling her, he said, look, trust in the power of God. And she's like, how in the world could this ever happen? And he explains it to her. And then he reminds her, look what happened with Elizabeth. Now you remember, there is nothing shall be impossible with God. Verse 38, and Mary said, look at her reaction. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We're going to stop there for right now and have a word of prayer and preach a sermon entitled Christmas is a time of peace. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I pray that you speak to people's hearts. Lord, I don't want us to become so familiar with the stories that we forget the importance and the truths that teach us about Christmas. Lord, help us always be focused on you all times of the year, but especially during this Christmas season. Help us appoint people to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first point, peace comes when we trust God's power or God's sovereignty. You say, what does the word sovereignty mean? It means supreme power or authority. Now, one of the things I love about Christmas that sometimes people miss is I love how God orchestrated it all. You think about this. You got a king that is on the throne and known ruler of the world. God had to move his heart to tax his people at this time so Mary would end up at Bethlehem when the baby was born. I don't know about you, but what does that mean? That God has the ability to smooth the king's heart? God has the ability to put the babe inside the womb at a certain time? God has the ability to make sure everything works out at that moment in time for that night for Mary to have that child? I don't know about you, but that's just amazing. You know what that speaks of and that tells us? It tells us about God's power. It tells us that He is the supreme ruler, that He is in control of all things. It shows us and demonstrates to us that there's nothing He can't do. Look what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Most of you know that verse. But don't get past that verse. You know, it had to happen at that time in order for Mary to be able to go and be sent. Most people believe that the decree was different people would go to different cities, even at different points and different times. God had to know that. God had to know when the child was going to come into Mary's womb. God had to know exactly how long it was going to take to get Bethlehem and how long the donkey, how many rests the donkeys were going to have and how many inns they were going to, all that stuff. God knew and God worked it out for that moment in time for the child to be born where he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted it to be done. You know what? Christmas is a time of peace because we can put our trust in the sovereignty of God. We can put our trust in the power of God. So many times we get so worked out. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if so-and-so is going to like this present. I don't know if so-and-so is going to be able to come. I don't know if somebody's going to be sick. I don't know. And I don't know. And I don't know. We must learn to do everything we can and put the rest in God's hands. Trust in God's sovereignty. It's not just even in the timing. You think about it. He had to put the star in the sky for the wise men to see. I mean, there's power there, isn't there? I mean, he put the star in the sky. And I know some people say, well, he was at the nativity. Some people say he was at, you know, later. He put the star in the sky. They traveled a long period of time. The star was there. Took the star away for him to go talk to Herod so Herod would know. All those things. It shows and demonstrates the power and sovereignty of God. You think about the virgin birth. There had to be power there. There's nothing that God cannot do. Over and over, you see God's power throughout the Christmas story. Think about Elizabeth's pregnancy, barren, older lady, this godly couple finally gets her child after they're already how old? What is it? What is it that God cannot do? God can do nothing. God can do all things that his nature allows him to do. I want you to understand, Mary pondered when the angel said, and Mary pondered, and the angel said, fear not. This was the same message to Joseph. This was the same message to the shepherds. We have nothing to fear inside of God's plan. We have nothing to fear inside God's plan. He says, why in the world do we have nothing to fear inside God's plans? It's because God is all powerful. There is nothing that God can't do. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. What does that mean when the fullness of time came? Exactly at the right moment, at the right time, God brought this child into the world. He said, how do we apply this to our hearts and lives? Hopefully you get it already. What is it that God can't do in your life? God can do all things. What is it that we are trying to figure out on our own? What are we fearful about? What are we letting this Christmas season take away our anxiety? See, Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace. The message the angel said was, fear not. The message the angel said, behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. You know, this is a message. And Christmas time is supposed to be a time of peace. How come it seems like everyone's frazzled? How come it seems like everyone's against each other and fighting one another? How come it seems like our families that are supposed to be an encouragement to us, instead they become a burden? You know what? It's because we forget that God's in control of all things. God will enable us to do exactly what He wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, and with the amount of ability and time as we submit to Him. Remember this. Christmas is a time of peace, but it only is a peaceful time when we are willing to trust in God's power. Mary here was there, and she hears this message, and she turns around, and she says, well, how can this thing be? And what was the angel's response? It was found in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What is it in your life that you're anxious about? What is it in your life that you're thinking about? I wonder how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to fix this, how, you know what? Mary asked, angel said, this is what God wants you to do. Remember, there's nothing, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So if God's given you something to do, you can do it. He can enable you to do it. Mary's like, there's no way I can have a child. I've never known a man. He's like, I can take care of that for you. You say, well, there's no way I can do this. And God says, if I want you to do it, I can enable you to do it. So often we get so worked up about what we can't do. We let that robs us of our joy and robs us of our peace. And this Christmas season, we may understand that peace is a time of peace, but peace comes when we trust in God's power or God's sovereignty. Second thing is, peace comes when we submit and obey God's plan and word. Peace comes when we submit to God's plan or to God's word, whatever way you want to put it, or however you want to word it. Peace comes when we are willing to submit. See, it's not just enough to know God's plan. It's not just enough to know that God is sovereign and God is able. We must now submit to it. So many times people say, yes, I know God. I believe God. I believe God is able to do all things. But are you submitting your life to it? Because I know a lot of Christians today that believe in God. I know a lot of Christians today that says, yes, I know God can do all things. I know a lot of Christians today that are just willing to say and give God the glory and the idea that with their mouths say, God is able to do all things. And say amen and things like that. But I also know there's a lot of Christians out there, the same people that say those things, who don't pray. Who maybe come and ask counseling for questions. And I ask them, have you ever prayed about this? And they've never even taken time to pray. They're not depending on trusting God. They're not depending or trusting in God. Instead, they are depending and trusting in themselves, and they become unraveled. They become frazzled. They've come to their wits' end without ever saying, God, I'm giving this over to you. This is whatever it is you want me to do. See, I know a lot of Christians, in the time where I am the most frazzled, the time where my peace is gone, the time where I am anxious more than anything else, is the time when I am not surrendered to God's plan. See, when I surrender to God's plan, God takes care of the rest. William Barclay put it this way. He said, the most popular prayer in the world is, thy will be changed. But the greatest prayer on earth is, thy will be done. Andrew Murray said it this way. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. I want you to listen to these words and take it as in. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. And you think about this. What it's saying here is that God is ready and able to be responsible for the person that is willing to be yielded to Him. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that if you give your life and surrender and submit to God, He's the one that's going to have to answer for what happens in your life. When you submit to Him, when you give yourself over to Him, when you do everything He wants you to do, then you can say, hey, don't blame me, blame God. God's the one that told me to do this. And you see this in the life of Mary here, because in verse 37 it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. In verse 38, what does it say? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She said, okay, if this is what God wants, then I am going to be willing to do this. Yes, it meant Mary was going to have to face shame. Yes, it meant Mary was going to have to face persecution. Yes, it's going to mean that Mary was going to be misunderstood. But she says that this is what God wants. All I had to do is when people start questioning, when people start mouthing off, when people start talking behind my back, when people start accusing me, all I had to say is this is what God did, and I'm only doing what God wants me to do. And she was submitted to the will of God. You know where world peace, where real peace begins? Is when you give your heart and life totally over to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Because when you get to that point, when you get to that spot, when you get to that desire, then God takes over and God becomes responsible for your life. See, we want our own wills, we want our own desires, then we want God to fix our mistakes. And that doesn't work. We can't ask God to bless our mess. But when we surrender our life completely, totally over to Him, say, Lord, whatever it is you want, here am I, take me, here am I, send me. God says, that's a life I'll be responsible for. The question is, why don't we have any peace today? Many of us believe in the sovereignty of God, but we don't have the peace because we don't respond the way Mary did. Mary said, she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. She's saying, I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever it is your word wants, God, that is what I'm willing to do. And that's the key here. He says, whatever your word is, are we surrendered to Him and surrendered to His word? Even when there's times in there when it says things like be kind one to another, we don't always want to do that. Forgiving one another, we don't always want to do that. Let not bitterness in your heart, we don't always want to do that. There are things according to His word that we're not willing to surrender to, and that's the reason why we don't have the peace that we can have with God. That's the reason why your life, it seems like, is in turmoil. That's the reason why our lives seem like they're unraveling and seems like we're far apart. It's because we're not trusting either in His sovereignty, or we're not trusting and submitting to His word. Because when we give it all over to God, He becomes responsible for it. There's things in our lives that we're responsible for and things in our lives that we're not responsible for. I know that I've been on both sides. I've been the person that's managed and I've been the person that's been the employee before. And I know everybody thinks being the manager or being the one in charge is the fun one. But in all reality, I love when I have when someone else is in charge and all I had to do is what they tell me. Because when something goes wrong, I can say, hey, look, all I did was what you asked me to do. It's not my fault. You told me to do it. You know, some people say, man, it's great to be, some wives might say, man, it's great to be the head of the household. They get to tell everybody what to do. And then you know what? When something goes wrong, you know, it's like, I just did what you asked me to do. And here's the point. If we give it all over to God, He's the one responsible. We don't have to be worried about things because we've given it to God. We don't have to be struggling with, should I do this or should I not do this? When I had the most struggle in my soul is when I'm not willing to be completely surrendered to Him. But when I surrender to Him, I have complete freedom. Because I know that God is the one that's in control and God's the one that's got to take care of things. God's the one that's got to provide for me. God's the one that's got to do the work. God's the one that has to enable me. God is the one that has promises that He has to hold to because I've surrendered to Him. That's where peace comes in. Think about these verses. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I have that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. As the Bible is saying here, that the Lord's saying, I have thoughts of peace toward you, not of evil. That if we give it over to God, that He is thinking peace also. 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. That's in reference to those that obeyed God. When the nation of Israel obeyed God, God gave them promises, and God was willing to keep His word. Mary has a choice here. Mary has a choice of saying, I'm not going to do this, or saying, here I am. You have a choice in your life. I heard one preacher put it this way. I know I'm not quoting it right. Candace Cook told me this. And I think it was Brother Barnhouse that told her this. And then she wrote it in her Bible. She says, you have a choice to watch God's plan from the sideline or to be the main character in the story. And here's the thought is, there are so many of us that are sitting on the sidelines watching other people do God's will. But if you're willing to surrender to God's will, you get off the sideline and you become the main character in the story. And that's what God's will is for your life. If you surrender, you can become the main character. Does that mean you're going to be the one in charge or this or that? No, you've surrendered to doing what God wants for you, and that is God's best. There is nothing second rate about being a missionary or being a pastor, but there's nothing second rate about being a garbage man if that's what God wants you to do. And there's nothing second rate about being a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, farmer, whatever it is. If it's God's plan, that makes you and God's best. He's got to provide everything else for you. But too often, we don't submit to Him. We don't surrender to His will. We'll do some of it, but we won't do all of it. You know what happens then? We become responsible. You know what happens then? It's when we stay up at night and we can't sleep because turmoil is going on inside of us. You know what happens then is when we don't do certain things the right way with our finances and we're worried and pulling our hair out. I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's because we have not given it over to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my finances. Do what you want with them. And God, I'm going to expect for you to provide the things you promised me to provide. We become worried because we don't do what we should. See, peace. It comes from surrendering and submitting to the Word of God. And that's what Mary has peace here. And she's able to surrender to God's will. Last but not least, we're not going to stay. We're just going to introduce this thought because sometime throughout this month, we're going to talk about Christmas being a time of worship. But peace comes when we worship God's purpose. You can just say worship God if you want. I was just trying to keep the things balanced there. Peace comes when we worship God's purpose. You know, look, we're going to read here for a minute here in verse number 39. We're going to go all the way through 55, but I think we're just going to stop here a little bit earlier in verse 46. But verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she, now this is Elizabeth talking to Mary, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, amazing story here. Elizabeth says everything God had promised because you surrendered, God is going to do it. And look what it says in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about that phrase a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later on. But she's saying that she wants her life to magnify God. And that's a wonderful thought there. But here's where we're getting at with this. You don't see here in the next 9 verses, Mary praises the Lord, praises God, worships God. You don't see her saying to Elizabeth, I don't know how God is going to do this. I don't know what my mom's going to think. I don't know what my dad's going to think. Or can you talk to my family because they're relatives? We don't see her worrying about how all the details are going to work out. She's saying, I want my life to magnify God. And if you really want to have peace, you need to stay focused on Him. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. What the Bible is saying here is that if you really truly want to have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, we have to have our minds focused on him. See, too many times in this Christmas season, we're worried about the decorations. We're worried about all these other things that have nothing to do with God himself. But if we keep our mind focused on God, you know what's going to happen? The Bible says that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. If we really, truly want to have peace, and that's what Christmas is. It's supposed to be a time of peace. It's the message was intended. You don't see Joseph fearful after he hears the message of God and submits to it. He's good. He's hopeful. He's peaceful. You see the same thing with Mary. She is hopeful. She is peaceful. Same thing with Elizabeth. Same thing with the wise men. The same thing with the shepherds. This is a message of peace. Their lives have been turned upside down, but it's a message of peace because they have
trusted in the power of God. They have submitted to God's plan. And peace really comes when we learn how to worship Him. I'm not just talking about singing the songs just because you're here at church. I'm talking about listening to the words, understanding the truths and doctrines found in that hymn book, but more importantly, what's found in this word. Mary is not concerned and worried. You don't see her unpeaceful here. What do you see her? You see her got everything taken care of. She's settled. She's fine. She's full of peace because of the fact she is able to worship. Her mind is not focused on the things of this world. Her mind is focused on heavenly things. She has given everything over to God, and she can come up and say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Isn't that what you want? That's what I want in my life. I get tired of the turmoil. I get tired of the constant struggle and the constant pulling. And I'll close with this story. There's been more than one time in my life I've had to deal with people with hard situations. As a pastor, sometimes will come to you and they'll ask you for something or ask you for advice, and you're sometimes privy to information that has details about people's families and lives where you're just struggling and you wish you could help. And there's been more than one occasion where I've done my best and I sought the Lord and I prayed and did exactly what I knew God wanted me to do. And I had peace about it. Now, some people might say, "Well, you should have done this, you should have done that, or you should have done this, you could have handled this differently." All I have to say is, look, I went to the Lord, I gave it all over to God, God has instructed me, this is the way we should go, and this is what we should do, this is what I should have done, and you know what? I can sleep easy at night. When I see those people, even sometimes people maybe have left the church, or people who might have some worry against me, or some type of accusation against me, or something, or this or that, when I see them, I can look at them in the face, I can shake their hand, I can say that I love them, I can say that we miss them, I can say, you know, things, I can be kind to them, I can do what, I have peace in that relationship because I knew I did exactly what God wanted me to do. But sometimes if you look around, one of the problems that happens at Christmas season more than another is there's relationships that there's problems with. And yes, it could be this person's fault, it could be that person's fault, or both people could be at fault. But if you do exactly what God tells you to do, guess who has to take care of it? God does. He's the one that becomes responsible when we fully submit our lives. But oftentimes we don't fully submit them. And instead, we become responsible. And that's when we lose our peace, because we can't depend upon God because we didn't submit to Him to begin with. As when I mentioned earlier at the beginning, I talked about how you can have peace from God. You can have peace with God. That's what the Christmas story is all about. See, we are enemies with God because of our sin. Look it up in Romans. It says that. Our sin separates us from God. And God saw that. God knew that. God brought Jesus to this world to die, to live the perfect life, to die on the cross, to be buried, to raise again, to pay our sin debt for us. That's why Christmas is so special. That's why Christmas is so awesome. Has nothing to do with Santa Claus. Has nothing to do with Frosty the Snowman. It has to do with that God came in the form of a babe and died on the cross to pay our sin debt for us. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we get worked up about. That's what we get excited about. That's what we have cantatas for. And you can have peace with God. If you're a person here this morning and have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, you will never know peace. You will never truly know the peace that you can have with God. Let me encourage you. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation. Let me encourage you to come forward and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know God and have peace with God. He gave His Son so we could have peace with Him. That's the Christmas story. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us so we could be reconciled back to Him. Make sure you got that settled. And the message is mostly, mainly intended to Christians today. This is supposed to be a time of peace. You think of your life, you go back and you consider everything. Look back what last week was like. Look forward to what next week is going to be like and say, man, there's so much turmoil, so much struggles there. And ask yourself the question, why is there so much? Is there something in my life that I'm not surrendered to, something I have not submitted to when it comes to God's Word? Maybe I'm just not trusting God. Maybe I'm worked up about a sickness or worked up about a problem because I don't believe God is able or I haven't given that over to God yet. If you really want peace, it begins with trusting in His sovereignty or His power. It begins with submitting to His will, His plan, His word. And then it stays. Peace stays when we worship Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with